And now, the Dave Kimchin Show.
Welcome in, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Getting right to the war in Ukraine that is escalating. Talking with Virginia, she is a former advisor to members of the Ukrainian Parliament, specializing in several areas, including European affairs. She currently lives in Canada. She left Canada to go back to Ukraine just days, less than a week before the war began. Now she is struggling to find safety and stay alive like everyone else over there, basically. We were trying to do the interview last night. We were texting. She could not do it because there was an air raid siren, and so she went into a bomb shelter. So we had a chance to talk. Here's the latest on that. We're on the line here with Virginia. You are in Ukraine. You just went back to your country days before this all started, right? Days before this war started.
Five days to be exact.
My gosh. Yeah, 5 days you'll never forget. I'm sure you'll never forget, obviously, any of this. Where are you right now? Just kind of tell me, paint the picture. I know last night we were texting and you had to take shelter, right? There was an air raid. What happened then and what's happening right now?
So like you mentioned, I came from Canada. I arrived from Canada in Kyiv 5 days before the war started. And the first blasts, the first explosions of the cruise missiles, I've heard them in the downtown of Kyiv. I spent two nights of the war in Kyiv. And after that, I decided to get going a little bit west from my town. It was a difficult decision, but I think this was the optimal decision at that point. These days, I'm in Western Ukraine. There were explosions all over Ukraine, and including some Western cities, which we considered at the very beginning to be more or less safe. But these days there are no safe places anymore. Air raid sirens go off everywhere. So this is what happened last night when we tried to have this interview. And so the air raid siren sounded, and I needed to go to the shelter. And obviously those shelters are either half underground or completely underground, and the signal is there is usually either non-existent or pretty weak. Nothing has happened. There were no blasts, no missiles in that area, but we do take the every air raid siren seriously as much as we can, because virtually, like I said, no place is safe, and we are in the zone of reach of a missile. And we also know that not only military facilities are targeted quite often by mistake or on purpose, civilian districts are targeted too. So these days we take them seriously, and in general, it's the ninth day of the war, and we are learning to fight better. We are learning to defend ourselves better, and we are not going to surrender.
You went back, because you saw the tensions that were taking place. Did you think it was a matter of like that? It really would be a matter of days. It obviously turned out to be, you know, like you said, 5 days. From the time you got there to this all happened. When you first got on the ground, like what were you feeling in terms of tensions when you first got there?
Well, you know, being in Canada, understanding political developments and following political developments pretty closely, I knew about the warnings of the US high officials, of the warnings US intelligence community that were made public to Ukrainians and to the entire world about the possible imminent or, at certain points it was not imminent, but highly possible invasion. So it was pretty alarming to me. On the other hand, exactly for this reason, I felt I needed to be with my country. The thing is that I moved to Canada 2 years ago. Before that, I was really active in the political field in Ukraine. I took part in two revolutions, pro-European revolutions in Ukraine, the Orange Revolution of 2004 and the European Maidan or Euro Maidan Revolution of 2013-14. Later on, I worked really intensely in the field of European integration of Ukraine as an assistant to a member of parliament of Ukraine, as and also as an international secretary to a major most pro-European party, European Solidarity. All the developments, everything related to the fate of Ukraine was dear to my heart. It was my genuine interest. And because I was worried about the tensions, I wanted to be in my country. I wanted to be close to my friends and former colleagues. And that's why I went there in the middle of tensions. And I arrived 5 days before the war erupted.
So being someone who has the ear of folks in government, you've been in government yourself too. What do you make of how the Ukrainian government's responding, how international governments in the area are responding to this? I mean, what are your thoughts from a general policy standpoint?
We are in the middle of the military, a difficult military operation. Ukraine has been defending itself for 9 days. Right now, I just do not feel I'm in a position to analyze policies. I can only analyze, and probably I should be in a position to analyze the facts of the recent days, which are that Ukrainian high-level authorities, they are dealing pretty well with what is going on. The president is in the country. The president is in Kyiv. Ukrainian army is doing a tremendously important and just outstanding job fighting against an enemy, which is considered to be one of the strongest armies in the world. And I think these are the most important facts and the most important developments. I do have some observations, but we will analyze other facts, also important facts. We will analyze them later. Right now, we are focused on the unity of the nation with the army, with the state's authorities, and with the society, so that we can all together stand against this beast, this absolutely a neighbor that gone absolutely crazy. And we have to survive and we have to prevail in this madness and in this, it's not only war, it's really madness with all the atrocities and all the crossing of the red lines. We have to prevail. That's our focus right now.
Understood. And what do you make of the national unity? People who have never, you know, it's been amazing to see. And, you know, we've talked to folks, we actually talked to a gentleman who was first time at 57 years old, first time basically joined the army. You know, he's fighting for Ukraine's freedom. There's so many cases like this where people have never taken up arms before and this is happening. What do you make of that? And just, you know, what does it mean amongst your fellow country folk?
Well, you know what, I think even people who maybe had any kind of doubts about Russia or any kind of illusions, most of them, they lost them with the first explosions of the missiles. Because even if they say in Russia that Ukraine, it's a special forces, a special operation, that Ukrainians are bombing themselves. We in Ukraine, we know this is not true. We are a peaceful country. Our president is a former comedian. Why would he order Ukrainian army to bomb and attack itself? What for? And I mean, we were already, it's, you know, for us Ukrainians, the war did not just start on the 24th of February. The war was going on starting from the year 2014, when the Russians attacked, annexed Crimea and occupied and annexed, illegally annexed Crimea. And they also attacked and occupied the eastern territories of a sovereign state, the Donbas and Luhansk regions, parts of the Donbas and Luhansk regions. So to be honest, most of us or many of us knew and expected that Russia will not, that those territories in the east and the Crimean Peninsula will not, would not suffice. We expected that a day will come and they will try to move further. The only thing is that probably not too many of us expected, but also not only Ukrainians, I guess the entire world was taken aback by what started to happen. We were just terrified and absolutely not ready that the aggressor would take the hostilities to such a scale, which is obviously insane for the rest of the world, absolutely insane. But like I said, in general, we knew that Russia is an enemy. We knew that this enemy just hates us. And we knew that a day will come and they will attack us even more than before.
And now in this moment, it's got to be, I mean, it's the sum of all of every fear. I'm reading now, I mean, there's, you know, 1 million refugees right now fleeing to either Poland or Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, other European countries. What do you make of the humanitarian crisis, the refugee crisis at this point? You know, how can other countries, in your view, step up? I mean, what needs to, and how can the world step up to help those fleeing this danger?
You know what? Help us save our country. And then no Europe, no other countries of the world will see our refugees. Give us weapons. Help us shelter our sky. Help us close our sky. Help us defeat this crazy beast, because without defeating this country, without defeating this crazy leader, the rest of the world will never have any kind of peace anymore. There's no way back from what has happened starting from the day, from the February 24. Just help us survive, help us fight, and help us win. And then we can take care of our own people ourselves. Right now, there are enough organizations, there are enough countries that are dealing with the refugees from Ukraine, from the affected areas. And I guess it's right so that Ukrainians, especially with so many kids, they had to flee, they had to leave. But there are a lot of Ukrainians, many millions of Ukrainians who are still in the country, and they're determined to fight and to win the country back and to get rid of this beast and prevail against the evil, you see? And like I said, for that, we need more decisive political solutions. We need more sanctions to isolate Russia even more. We need weapons, especially anti-tank and anti-aircraft weapons, because they show their special effectiveness. And we need also financial support. That's how we can not only sustain, we can also, I'm sure of that, I believe in that, we will win, one day we will win this war.
Yeah, and we are hoping that day comes very, very soon. I know it's about 9:30 where you are right now. What's, you know, I guess you try to get sleep whenever you can, I imagine, but there's always that edge, right? There's always that fear of another air raid siren, that sort of thing. One thing I did want to ask you, last question I had, for all of the Russian citizens who are opposing Putin, who have spoken out against their government, what are your thoughts on them, on the Russians who have just pledged solidarity with Ukraine, and they want an end to this, they want the aggression to stop from Putin as well. What are your thoughts there?
I feel for those people, because I know obviously they will have to deal with their regime. On the other hand, I think it's a huge mistake of many global leaders of democracies all around the globe that a thing like that was allowed to, or a possibility like that was allowed to happen. The thing is that Ukrainians felt this fear. Ukrainians anticipated these events earlier. And of course, again, like I said, maybe not to that extent, but we did know that Russia is absolutely crazy about having Ukraine back and having Ukraine under its control. And civil society, different political actors, they warned the rest of the world for many, many years that Russia is a rogue country. Russia is evil. So I truly believe that this was a miscalculation of too many governments, that developments like that could happen. So what is important to analyze the mistake and to make it right. I cannot give you a receipt how to do it, but it has to be, a solution has to be found, because there's no way back. I believe that we are in the middle, well, maybe not the middle, but we are already in the third World War III. And if Ukraine falls, there will be no quiet and no peace for other countries. And honestly, Ukrainians, if some of us survive, we will consider that the rest of the world was in either silently watching or in coalition with this beast that came to just destroy us.
So this is the last stand. Ukraine is the last stand.
It is. And just another important fact, the terror, including the nuclear terror that the Russia and the Russian crazy president turns to, like you probably, I believe the many people in North America were following the fire on the nuclear power plant in central Ukraine last night, which was the night in Ukraine, but it was still the evening in the North America. So many people were watching it live, and it was horrifying because the power plant,
absolutely terrible.
In Energodar, it's a power plant which is twice as powerful as Chernobyl. And they were shooting it. some of the facilities there were on fire. And I mean, this is a terror, and this is a real threat of a nuclear explosion that could destroy not just Ukraine or parts of Ukraine. It could be disastrous for the rest of Europe. I'm not even speaking in Russia, but probably the Russian president does not even count his own population anymore. He's in a bunker somewhere, central Russia, or whoever knows he's hiding. But seeing how he sends his own soldiers to die in Ukraine, in like, obviously it's Ukrainian army fights really well, and the so many Russian soldiers were killed already. They do not count them. They do not repatriate their bodies. And it seems that also Russian president does not even have mercy to his own population, which will suffer from economic sanctions very soon, has already started. And also the population, which could suffer as well if a nuclear, if an explosion on a nuclear power plant would happen in the central Ukraine.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I mean, I was watching that last night. It was absolutely, absolutely terrifying. My gosh. Virginia, is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, anything else that we didn't cover? I know there's, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but I want to make sure you have a chance to get the rest you need, because, you know, everybody needs probably as much rest as you can get over there, you know, as you try to, you know, stay one step ahead of things, or several steps ahead of things, really.
You know, the first five days of the war, I had almost no sleep. I was either on the go or I was spending my nights in bomb shelters. When we are too exhausted, then we do not take it to bomb shelters. We just get some blankets on the floor in a hallway somewhere to next to a wall that is considered to be more or less safe, far away from windows. And this is how we spend our nights quite often. So first 4 or 5 days were like completely sleepless. And the rest of the days, I was able to concentrate a bit more on our tasks. And my focus is these days to reach out to world media, to reach out to partners in Europe and in other countries, in order to tell, to share firsthand information. So we've been busy fighting for this country. And as a final message, I will only add, I would only stress what I've said already. Ukrainians fight. Ukrainians are united all together, the authorities, the army, society, and we are not gonna surrender. They can erase us from the surface from the map of the world, but they will not be able to conquer us and rule us. So while Ukrainians are fighting, please help us with finances, with weapons, with decisive political steps all around the world. We have to stop this beast. If Ukraine falls, you will not have rest in other countries with this beast.
Well, Virginia, thank you so much for your time. We wish you, best wishes for safety, and just we're praying for your well-being and everyone over there. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.